Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson Extra. I am Jason Inman.
I am Ashley Victoria Robinson.
But you already know that because you're listening to Geek History Lesson Extra. Woo! We're talking about Bond, James Bond. Now, Ashley, real quick, Skyfall is your favorite Bond movie?
Skyfall is my favorite Bond movie.
What's your worst Bond movie? Like, what's the Bond movie that you don't like?
Thunderball.
Why?
Because it's stupid.
Why is it stupid?
It's so stupid. I just don't like anything about it, really.
You don't like men in eye patches? Is that what you don't like?
Yeah.
Number
and,
two?
And, like, the song is stupid and...
The Thunderball.
Like, I know. Like, what the hell's a Thunderball?
It's the classified code name of the operation.
I know, but, like, when you listen to the song, it's just like a Thunderball. And you're just like, what does that even mean? Tom Jones, help me out.
I don't know.
I know that Moonraker is, like, objectively... The worst.
Moonraker is objectively probably the worst
but
James Bond.
I would take Moonraker because at least Moonraker is...
Because you're like, they go to the moon?
Is so silly. And like, they're in space. Mm-hmm. So there's some... To me, there's some camp value to that.
There's
like,
space fights.
There definitely are. I just like to imagine that's James Bond raking the moon.
Do you not like the scene even where they show Blofeld and they don't show his face and he's petting the kitty? He's betting, and he presses the buttons and kills his men.
I respect that because it's become such a trope.
Well,
and
that's
it's
what Dr. Evil is based on.
And every villain. I mean, it's a very definitive thing about movie villain storytelling, but I just think that for the rest of the movie, like, none of the good moments are worth sitting through that movie
okay,
for.
Okay, so you talked about good moments.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have to be your favorite, but what is a moment in the James Bond movie franchise that like really sticks with you or that you're like, that's James Bond?
Well, I was going to say, now that it has to be a James Bond moment.
Favorite moment in a James Bond
My
movie.
My favorite moment in James, like I am unapologetically, like Daniel Craig is what sealed me into James Bond, like as a fan, as opposed to just like a cat, like before I was very casual, like I'll watch it, it's fun. Whatever, like I decided to read the books after that. I really like the scene where he meets Q for the first time and they're talking about the painting. Like that's my favorite because to me, like the coolest thing, and it's so funny that we're talking about James Bond, the coolest thing about spies and like to be an effective spy, you have to be somebody who can just pass to be a normal person. And when you're James Bond, whether you're Sean Connery James Bond or you're Daniel Craig James Bond, they're not normal people. They're good-looking guys. They've got, like, swagger and added... Like, there's nothing about them that screams to me, like, this is an average person who could do, like, actual spy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when him and Q are just sitting there and they're, like, talking about the ship, and then that's, you know, kind of the caveat that allows them to figure out who the other person is until Bond loses his temper. Like, that's what I think is interesting, because to me, that's real spy work.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather see that than, like, the invisible car.
Sitting in a museum is real spy work to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Waiting for someone to bring you a gun.
Okay.
That's like my favorite moment. And I know everyone's going to be like, you're just millennial who likes Daniel New and James Bond. But that's my favorite moment on all of James Bond.
In 24 of James Bond films.
I also think, because I think it's a really beautifully shot movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that building. So I just like the way it looks and everything about it. I don't know. Now tell me yours, which will be a better answer.
My favorite moment in the entirety of the James Bond franchise is the moment to me that totally illustrates who James Bond is.
Mm-hmm.
It is the opening sequence of Goldfinger. And it is where he comes out of the water, plants a bomb in the factory.
Oh, yeah, that's a good answer.
Unzips his wetsuit, goes to the bar, the building blows up. He sips on his drink, goes back to his hotel room. A beautiful woman is waiting there for him. He starts kissing her. He pulls her away, and in the reflection of her eye, he sees his attacker,
who is going to
knife him, and he flips the girl around so that she gets knifed.
Yeah.
And then has a big fight sequence with this guy. He knocks the guy into the bathtub, and the guy is about to reach his gun, and he slams a toaster, a plugged-in toaster, into
shocking.
The bathtub, puts on his jacket, gets ready to leave, looks around and goes, shocking. And then, and that to me tells you, like, he's classy, he's patient, he's bloodthirsty, and he has a killer wit. Like, he's sardonic about everything.
Yeah. I mean, if I was going to pick a moment that I thought, like, was some of the best, like, personification of James Bond, I really like his fights with Oddjob.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get a little bit of gadgetry, like with the hat or whatever. And you get to see, like, to me, the thing about Bond is that he's as much an assassin as he is.
He is an assassin.
An intelligence agent. Like,
I actually think he's more of an assassin than he is an intelligence agent.
Yeah, but that's the guys that he's usually there to retrieve information or save someone. Like, he's doing stuff that, like, an intelligence officer would do. But this the whole idea of, like, you're a double agent, you have this license to kill. Like, he's basically a glorified assassin.
Yeah, he really is.
And I like moments like, because I think Oddjob is just really interesting, or even Jaws.
I don't know. Jaws is okay, but, like, man, Oddjob, I think, is just the best Bond henchman,
too. Well, Jaws is, like, your low grade, your low rent Oddjob.
Yeah. It's because Oddjob, except for that hat, which does get a little silly, I love those scenes where, like, Bond tries to punch Oddjob, and
nothing happens.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh.
And that's scary because usually up until that point in the movie, like, you're very much with Bond. Like, yeah, you're cool and, like, you'll take care of everything. And it's like, oh, yeah, he's just like a brick wall that you have to fight now.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, okay, here's the thing. What would you say is your favorite Connery moment? Like, what do you like about Connery? Like, do you like Connery?
I do like Connery's my second favorite.
I mean, Craig is your best, but let's talk about some that aren't your favorites. Let's talk about Connery. what do you like? Is there a Connery moment that sticks out to you, or what do you like about Connery?
I mean, the shocking is pretty great.
Shocking.
I like watching him, even though I always think, like, the card scenes are really boring. I think he's the best one.
You like it when he plays Baccarat and Dr. No?
Yeah, but I was like, it's not poker. I couldn't remember.
No, he plays Baccarat. Yeah. And he plays Baccarat in Casino Royale, but they changed it for American audiences to Texas Hold'em Poker.
In Switzerland, whatever.
Yep, in Switzerland.
Or Montenegro, wherever they are.
Montenegro.
And I like that because Sean Connery's Bond to me, and it's probably because he's the, not oldest, but maybe oldest, but like most well-seasoned actor. And I mean, he's from a different time, so, you know, like,
I don't know about that.
You grow up faster and whatever, but
Pierce Brosnan, I think, might have been the most seasoned by the time he took the role.
Well, Sean Connery looked older.
True.
But because Sean Connery, I think, is the most thoughtful, and I think he has the best plan. And I like that the scene where he's playing Baccarat because you can watch him think, and you don't get a chance to do that a lot with any of the Bonds.
You want
to
know why I think Connery is the best Bond?
Tell me.
Because he's the most relaxed.
He is the most relaxed. He's the most at his ease. Like, he knows everything will be okay. And yeah, get the
he is the
done.
Most relaxed because
Pierce Brosnan's not relaxed.
Well, Roger Moore, I would say, is bouncy as Bond. I mean, that's
yeah, but Roger Moore is living in, like, a mod comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of his movies are almost satires of Sean's.
Of the genre.
Of the Connery's. Yeah, like, yeah. Timothy Dalton is like,
he's tense. He's like, angry.
Gun. Like, he's that. Pierce Brosnan's always trying to make a quip. He's like, how can I say the next best line?
Pierce Brosnan is like, is like Roger Moore, but better.
He's a better version of Roger
but
Moore.
But to me, like, he's closer to that than like what Connery was doing.
And then Craig is like managing his temper before he'll punch you in the face.
Well, he's
or
like,
he doesn't want to be there. That's why he's like, oh, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, he's one step away from just walking out through the wall.
Yeah.
Like, through the drywall.
Because like his expressions are always like, oh, I don't want to, oh, God.
I'm not, though, 100% sure that's not his face.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
it might be his face.
No tea, no shade.
Yeah,
but
Connery's the only one that is just like, in every scene, he's just like, I'm Bond. I will kill you. And I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Who is your favorite Bond girl?
This is easy. Easy choice. My favorite Bond girl is the Bond girl that you hate when someone says her name.
I don't like it.
Pusha Galore.
Makes me so uncomfortable.
Pussy Galore, I feel, is the best Bond girl because she saves the day, not Bond.
She transcends the sex symbol nature of being a Bond girl.
She also transcends the villainous role because she starts out as a villain and then ends the movie as a hero. And a lot of other Bond movies have copied that journey. But I mean, in the first two movies, the girl is just the girl. And that's the girl.
Yeah.
You know, but in this movie, she starts out as a villain. She wants nothing to do with him. He like keeps trying to like flirt with her, come on, let's have sex in this barn.
Yeah.
And she like beats him up a little bit. And then he goes to Fort Knox, and then she's the one that warns the CIA and MI6 about the attack.
Yeah.
And then changes out the canisters.
I almost feel like she is the prototype for the way they designed, and I mean, she's scared in the book, the way they built Vesper Lynn's character as kind of the opposite. Like, she starts out as an ally, and then she becomes the betrayer.
In the movie or in the books?
Both.
Okay.
But it's more in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, she's a much bigger role in the movie. But you do, like, Vesper is a character, too, who very much, like, stands on her own, independent of Bond. Whereas I feel like even characters like Jinx that Pierce Brosnan's Bond was dealing with, like, 10 years earlier, couldn't stand up independently of, I am here in relation to James Bond.
Yeah. Yeah. Even though Jinx was supposed to be, Halle Berry's Jinx was supposed to be a CIA agent.
Right.
And it didn't quite work.
Well, she was supposed to be, like, the strong black woman who don't need no man.
Yeah.
And then she didn't.
Who's your favorite Bond girl?
I mean, probably Vesper.
Yeah. Do you just like the love story, or what is it about Vesper?
No, I like her because she doesn't. I mean, the love story is because kind of whatever for me.
When you think about Vesper, Vesper is actually, in Bond's own words, a traitorous bitch.
No, she totally is. I mean, I really want like to say Moneypenny, because I think Moneypenny is consistently like the best female.
That's a good choice.
Like all of the Moneypennies.
That's a good choice.
You know, and she's like, even when, because Moneypenny starts out in kind of a degrading role by today's, well, not even that she's a secretary, but like they kind of like assault her. And like he treats her without respect, like something that would be considered sexual harassment today's standards.
No.
And
I think he, to me, like,
and I feel like that character has grown into a character that is held with more respect.
He's always
to me just like, I'd sleep with you right now. Well, and she's like, I need you to step back, please.
No, she's not. Moneypenny is
no, but that's what she grows up into.
Even in Skyfall, she flirts with him.
She does, but she won't sleep with him.
By the way, in the official James Bond sex, how many women he slept with count?
Yeah.
Moneypenny is counted in Skyfall because
it's a big debate.
Well, when it's doing this saving thing,
yeah.
When she mentions it later on, like the article that I read counted that as acknowledgement that it did happen.
Yeah. But I've heard Sam Mendes in interviews say that he never intended that scene to read that way, but that was their performances.
Got it. No, Moneypenny never is like step away. Not even in Skyfall, she's not that way. We had this discussion the other day because you were talking about discussing like what we thought their relationship was and stuff like that in relation to another Bond movie. James Bond views Moneypenny, in my thoughts, as the woman who he can have a normal life with.
Mm-hmm.
And Moneypenny views James Bond as most people would, the most exciting man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's the catnip. He's what I need.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best. No one will ever beat him. Moneypenny is my life raft out of this life.
Mm-hmm.
I can have a normal life if I get with Moneypenny. Here's the problem with that. The minute he settles with her, he's bored and he's cheating on her within 2 days.
Yeah.
And she will think he's boring as well the minute he stops killing people.
But you don't think that she knows that he's a thug, basically?
She knows exactly what he is.
Yeah.
But think about it this way. If you're a secretary for a
administrative assistant.
Okay, administrative assistant. You're an administrative assistant for a highly classified Secret Service 00 assassin branch. You would have to have an immense love of country.
You would, absolutely. And that's a very English thing.
Yes. So I don't think she views him as a thug. I think she views him as he's doing the right thing
for
Mother Britain, for the Queen.
Yeah. That's interesting.
James Bond, and I don't think, you know, and again, it's very valid, your perspective. Very valid. I think it's interesting you see it this way. But I guess I see the James Bond, like his flirtations with her.
Mm-hmm.
She is the only woman he's ever loved.
I just feel like Sean Connery, James Bond, is always like one step from like bending any woman he can find over.
That's very true. That's very true.
Moneypenny.
That's very true.
You know?
But to be honest with you, I do think his sexiest scenes are with Moneypenny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With all their clothes on.
Yeah. Like where they're like talking and about, because they always have the same thing where M is like, Miss Moneypenny, if you could let Mr. Bond come into my office, please.
Yeah, that's
you
very true.
You know, and they always do the joke where he throws his hat
on
her coat rack too, which is another thing. I don't know. I think he loves her so much.
Which is a very domestic thing. Like, I'm hanging my hat up with you.
Yeah. I think he loves her so much. She is the sexiest woman in the world to him. Everybody else is a notch.
Everyone else is a plaything, yeah.
Yes, is a notch on his belt. Moneypenny is the prize.
Yeah, so then I guess she's my favorite.
But Moneypenny is the dog in the car.
Mm-hmm.
The minute he catches it, he doesn't know what to do with it.
I really love Naomi Harris, who's playing the role now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think she's really wonderful, and I'm glad that we got to see her start in the field,
mm-hmm.
and then like she learns that, no, I'm better here where I can be more grounded.
Who do you think is the best Bond villain?
I mean, to not say Blofeld is like...
You know, I don't think Blofeld's that great.
As a character, he's not. But again, he's the kind of the birth of that archetype.
True. Well, he is the villain over multiple movies.
And we're going to have him again.
Maybe.
Here.
Maybe.
Well, true. Yeah. So it's hard for me not to say him right off the bat. I don't think most of the Bond villains are like great. They're usually a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always have that like, they're like weirdly soft or weirdly weak, you know? Like mm-hmm. that, like that's what I think about like Le Chiffre. Like, he's this great idea, but who has kind of like these childish tendencies, like if you piss him off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's tough.
Well, I have to give a little bit to Goldfinger. Goldfinger's not my favorite Bond villain.
Goldfinger maybe.
But Goldfinger, that speech where he was like, man has achieved great things in every field except crime.
Yeah.
And I love that speech. But you know what? You know who I really like as a Bond villain?
Nope.
I think Sean Bean.
Oh, Alec.
Alec Trevelyan?
Trevelyan.
I'm just going to call him 006.
Yeah.
I think he's really good. And it's...
I don't go to him when I think of a villain.
He's a villain. Because,
no, he totally is.
Because there's a lot of points in that movie where he's able to beat Bond because he knows his training.
Yeah.
You know, which I always think it's interesting.
He's also smarter than Bond. He's like way smarter than Bond.
Oh, no. A lot of ways how Bond wins is always through blind luck and blunt force.
Yeah. He'll just hit him harder.
He's like, if I just blow up five cars or drive a tank down the street, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah.
You know, whereas everybody else would be like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Whereas Bond's like, no, I can drive that tank. I can drive that tank down that road. They'll never catch me.
I can jump into this train. It'll be okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Oh, yeah. That's a good answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good answer.
So, as we end the song, you know what I'm thinking about.
I do.
As we end the podcast, final thing, favorite Bond song.
Goldfinger.
Is it Goldfinger?
Yeah.
What would be your second? Because Goldfinger's mine too.
I mean, because I just like Shirley Bassey like screaming.
Goldfinger.
Yeah.
He's the man with the mightiest touch. Second favorite Bond song.
I really like Skyfall, but it's basically, it's a callback to the
Skyfall. Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what my second favorite one is?
No.
You Only Live Twice. Nancy Sinatra.
Because
I love the beginning
Sinatra.
Of that where it's like, do.
I always think that her song, Bang Bang, is a Bond theme because it sounds like it should be a Bond theme.
Yeah, you would think.
I also really like You Know My Name by Chris Cornell because I think it's really different.
It doesn't seem like a Bond song
Bond
either.
Theme.
Yeah, but it's
a good
song.
I mean, Casino Royale is kind of like not, it's an atypical Bond movie.
That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Writing on the Wall, though. Sam, what's his name? Smith?
Yeah.
Shepard?
Sam, I don't know.
The song for Spectre?
Whatever, it sucks.
It's like, oh my God.
We're going to get all these comments about people who really like that
song.
You know what?
Bond song has a really great verse.
Nope.
If you got the job to do, got to do it well. You got to give the other fella hell. I mean, God.
You sound like Sebastian from The Little Mermaid.
Well, because it's like, bam, ba-da-bam. Yeah, I hate that.
I know.
Oh, I hate it. I hate that song. I'm sorry, listeners. If you love, I hate that song. That is my kryptonite, that song. It's like, it's like Big Bulgarian Woman is Bond's kryptonite. That song is my kryptonite. So there you go.
Wow, that's a heck of an analogy.
He doesn't like the German mamas. All right, that's it. Any final words of James Bond?
It's pretty cool.
Mm. Okay. That was deep and intense. It's all right.
I just want to see more Ben Whishaw's Q.
I guess it's okay. Do you think he'll continue as Q past Craig?
Oh, yeah. I think because...
You think Moneypenny and Ralph Fiennes and...
Yes,
and,
because I think all of them are smart enough actors...
To keep it.
To know that, like... And especially Ben Whishaw, because he's mostly a theater guy. Mm-hmm. He only dips into movies here and there.
And Bond movies have great residuals.
Great residuals. It's probably not a bad paycheck. He gets to shoot it in England. Mm-hmm. Maybe not everyone, but, like, the Tumblr... my generation of people... love him. I think he could hold on to that role for a long time.
I mean, because how cool would it be? Because Judi Dench has been M since 95.
Well, now we've proven that you can carry actors over.
Yeah, yeah. You can, I mean, you can do, well, the original M, God, he was M until the late 70s.
Until he died.
Yeah, yeah, he was there. And Q, the original Q, who I cannot remember his name, he was Q until The World Is Not Enough.
Yeah.
Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be cool. I'd be fine if this is our next group.
I think too, then with whoever's next, and it'll probably be Tom Hardy or Fassbender.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think they're gonna go for an unknown. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's fine. But I think we won't get, like, with Craig, it was very much a hard reboot.
Yeah.
I think there's room now for letting more people carry over. And I think Ben Whishaw, Naomi Harris, and Ralph Fiennes are too great to let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would really hope that, like, the Broccolis or Eon or the director or whoever's in charge of that, like, I hope that they keep them because I really like them.
Nice.
I think they're doing a good job at world building.
Cool. Speaking of worlds, that's it for Geek Extra Lesson Extra on Bond, James Bond. Who are you?
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson. I'm 002.
Why do you want to be 002?
I don't know. That would be the number I would like to have.
I'm 0013.
That's too many numbers.
It's enough. It's just enough to be deadly.
Okay.
Be seeing you.